Welcome back. 419, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Welcome to Tuesday afternoon. And welcome to Susan Crabtree, Washington Times White House correspondent. Hello, Susan.
Hey, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I saw your story. Obama uses recess vacuum to pressure GOP to avoid sequester. And we're going to get to that in a minute. I know he spoke at the White House a little earlier today. I was talking about that at the start of the program this afternoon. But first, he is back from his not-so-secret golf trip. And I understand he upset quite a few reporters. Maybe he teed them off a bit?
Yes, we love the golf puns on the story. It is just, you know, never ending. We keep hacking away at it. Yes, well, it's kind of now the tables are turning against the White House press corps, it seems, on the story, because, you know, conservative columnist Charles Krauthammer was saying, you know, this is sort of ridiculous for the White House press corps that it's been heavily criticized over the course of the first term and not holding Obama's feet to the fire, to take great issue and be up in arms over the lack of access to this golf outing with Tiger Woods over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw Krauthammer, I saw his complaint that he didn't think it was fair to beat on the president because Ike played a lot of golf when he was in office and it really wasn't a big deal. I think the difference here is that this looks bad in that the president, through his State of the Union, talked once again about Americans having to sacrifice. And, you know, when this guy jumps on a 747 and flies down to Florida, plays golf with Tiger Woods over the weekend. Meanwhile, his wife jets off to Colorado with the kids for a ski trip. It doesn't look like they're making sacrifices like he's asked Americans to make.
Well, that's exactly what my thoughts were when I saw this sort of, like, strange juxtaposition of him talking about, in the State of the Union address, the president really called on Americans to, and said it was this generation's task to rebuild the middle class. And then he went on to Georgia and talk about the need to increase Head Start programs for young children and underprivileged kids, and also the scourge of gun violence in Chicago, and it was a really emotional plea when he was talking about the need to rebuild urban communities. So then, you know, he went to golfing with Tiger Woods, and it seemed to me a very bold sort of a seeming to say, this is my second term, and I'm going to stand this. I'm going to withstand this criticism.
No,
you really can't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an air of, well, there's a degree of arrogance to it. You know, I mean, to tell people, this is what you have to do, but, oh, I don't have to play by those rules. You know, I think that's the big difference, and that's the difference between what I saw in General Eisenhower, former President Eisenhower, and what I see in, you know, Barack Obama. There's a huge difference. So I don't think it was right for Krauthammer to include the two in the same paragraph, quite frankly. All right, I want to move on to what happened today at the White House. All right, so he's back in town. He uses a backdrop of first responders. He loves doing this. And then, of course, he goes right after the Republicans about these cuts through sequestration. And yet he never mentions that he's the guy who was ultimately responsible for them.
That's right. He's saying that there was plenty of blame to go around on who was responsible for the sequestration. Even Jay Carney later in the day during the briefing said that, you know, it was Graham Rudman back a few decades ago that really started this idea of imposing a trigger to get both sides to do something, to come up with something so painful that both sides would not ever agree to it and they would actually be forced to compromise. But, you know, this was sort of using Obama saying, the Congress is out of town. He's been trying to reach directly out to the American public to try to continue his campaign, basically, to sell the American public directly on his ideas. And in this case, I thought that it was kind of disingenuous what he was saying. He was saying at one point during his little speech, he said that the Republicans were not supporting tax reform and getting rid of the loopholes in the tax code. And that's something that Republicans have been committed to for a number of years, in rhetoric a long time, but in the last few years, they have put it into their budgets, and the House Ways and Means Committee is coming up with a plan to reform the tax code. And that, but that's no easy feat, as you know. That's going to take a few months. But, I mean, Obama seemed to be saying that the Republicans were not for closing tax loopholes, which just, is just not true. And the real dispute between them, as Republicans later came out and said, and John Boehner came out and issued a statement, was that they don't trust if they do close the loopholes, they don't trust Obama not to spend the money and not pay down the deficit.
Yeah. Well, we got a great indication of that last week in the State of the Union when, remember all of his proposals, these programs and ideas? Well, we did the math, and the math comes out to $83.4 billion, with a B, to make all of those work. Yet he's afraid to cut $85 billion through sequestration. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Here's the guy that keeps screaming for balanced approach. You know, we want spending, but we need cuts. Well, here's a prime example, and he doesn't want to go along with it.
It was interesting because I wanted to ask a question, but of course sometimes he doesn't get to my questions in the fourth row.
Surprise.
But he does answer Jay Carney, that being the White House press secretary. He does answer the network questions. So some of them asked him about, well, what do you mean the Republicans? You're talking about balance, but the Republicans agreed to mostly, I would say 95% tax increases for the fiscal cliff deal without very many spending cuts whatsoever. And so wouldn't it be balanced now to have the spending cuts, to have everything dealing with spending cuts now? But, you know, that is not what the White House, that's not the message that the White House is putting out this week. They're talking about that they have plans for overhauling entitlement programs such as Medicare and Social Security, and that the Republicans just won't go along with it. I mean, but it is a debate over trust and what to do with the revenue once you get the tax code reform. But that is a debate that's going to take, that is going to be months down the road. This is not easy to do to fix the tax code.
Yeah.
So Obama is basically saying, now trust me that we will fix the tax code and I won't spend the money. And 3 months down, please just pump this issue 3 months down the road and pass a temporary fix.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny today because he said, I'm not talking about kicking the can down the road. No, sir.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you were talking about, Mr. President. Because that's what he wants Congress to do. He wants them to kick it down the road for a few months while they work out some agreement to make these spending cuts less harsh for the American people. And, you know, for him to stand up there and say, I don't want you to kick the can down the road, and then say as much, you can't trust the guy.
Well, it's very interesting. If these sequesters do kick in on Friday, he has laid out such dire consequences that the reporters that we were talking about, and what are they going to say? They're going to have to find the most extreme example of someone being hurt by these sequesters, and the defense layoffs are going to, all of a sudden, we're going to have all these WARN Act notices that we've written about in the Washington Times quite a bit. You know, there's a requirement that any big defense firm, or any firm for that matter, that has over 90 employees, they have to send out layoff notices.
Right.
So you can imagine there's going to be a flurry of these layoff notices that are coming out if the sequester kicks in last week. But, you know, they didn't when there was on before the fiscal cliff debate before, and there was a few months right before the election last year. There was all these efforts by the White House not to have the WARN Act notices go out. So we're watching that issue closely, too, to see if there's any kind of hypocrisy going on there. But, yeah, I mean, the consequences have been so dire. They said the economy will take a huge hit. Hundreds of thousands of people are going to be laid off if this sequester kicks in. But, you know, from what I understand, if it does kick in next Friday, the Congress is not going to let it kick in entirely, and they will work out some sort of deal, but it may kick in for a few days.
Yep, I understand.
Or a week.
Yep. All right. Well, Susan, thanks for the update on the story. I know you'll continue to follow it, and we'll talk again about it. Thanks.
Wonderful talking to you today, Andy.
See you later. Bye-bye. Susan Crabtree, Washington Times White House correspondent. It is 429, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.